Welcome to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
How many of you guys are ready for the word today? Amen. I appreciate everyone sharing their testimonies the last couple of weeks, but if you have your Bibles, your physical Bibles, or your electronic Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 5, and we're going to go through a passage of scriptures, and then we'll pray and we'll worship a little bit, and then you'll be released to go bless someone else today with the power and the anointing that God has given you. Thank you, Franklin. Okay. Is everyone there in John chapter 5? John chapter 5. How many of you guys love the Word of God? Because we don't live by natural food alone, if you don't realize that, but you live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Come on, you realize that, when the Word of God gets inside of you and you meditate on it and you eat it, it produces life and faith inside of you. And all of us are spiritual beings. You're spiritual. And so if you're spiritual, you better eat some good soul food. I want to just, Priscilla and family, God bless you guys. Welcome, Mom and cousin. God bless you. These are our friends. It's good to see you. And I didn't do that, but if anyone else is here for the first time, but God bless you. Hope you're enjoying the sunshine. And the Word of God is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It goes down between soul and spirit and joint and marrow. How many of you guys need God to touch your bones? Come on. How many need God to touch you in some way physically in your body? And the Word of God is just not a dead letter, but it's the Spirit of God. It's the breath of God. And it goes down deep. It goes and divides between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. That's pretty scary, huh? That's scary. But so here it is in John chapter 5, and it says, after this. Everyone say, after this. I want to ask you a question. What is your after going to say? What's going to be written in your after? And so after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. For the sake of time, let me just read through the passage together. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Come on, ask yourself that. Look at your neighbor and say, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and the day was the Sabbath. And in this passage, we see Jesus coming back. You realize if you read your Bible that John chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 actually go together. And there's about an 8-week period between that time. Now, John chapter 6, it moves on. John chapter 1 is before, obviously before chapter 2. But when you read these passages, you realize that there was about an 8-week period. Come on, how many of you guys have been in an 8-week period of some form or fashion? It's like, "Lord, I need some change happening. This is a tough season. I'm going through some difficulty." And so here it was. It says, after this, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem represents peace. Come on, how many of you guys need some peace in your life? Come on, you need to know. And sometimes peace is something you have to get into a higher place for. Peace just doesn't happen. Jesus is peace. And so Jerusalem, the city of peace, it is in a higher place. Anytime anyone went in the Bible, you had to go up. You had to ascend into Jerusalem, into the place of peace. Now, this was the second time Jesus visited Jerusalem. And I'll take you back. The first time was in John chapter 2. And he went there. And when he went there, Jesus was a little bit upset. Come on. How many of you guys are dealing with some angry thoughts and emotions? Come on now. You guys are not all that spiritual. Come on. Now, Jesus got there in John chapter 2. He went in and he saw all the people that were at his father's temple. Now, don't worry. I'm gonna preach out in the sun so I can. You can't say that Pastor Steve gets the shade. I'm going to stay right here and get nice, hot, and sweaty with you. But Jesus went to there in John chapter 2, and he saw these people that made his father's house a place of merchandise. And they really weren't after the heart of God. They were about making money. And what did Jesus do? He took up some rope and some cords, and he made a whoop, and he went and just beat the hell out of them. Come on, how many of you guys sometimes, he just said, he was like, get out of here. And so this is, he says, you're making my father's house a place of merchandise. And he drove them out, and we see a part of Jesus that we all like, the fluffy, soft Jesus. We like the Jesus that doesn't get mad. We like the Jesus that's just all lovey and softy and lovey and lovey. But there's a part of Jesus that has some severity to him. There's that part of Jesus as well. And so we see that in John chapter 2, and it says they were mad, but they didn't know who did it. And so he leaves, and he goes on, and he goes and hangs out with his mother. And we know that the first miracle he did outside of Jerusalem was in the area of Galilee and Cana. And so then we go through John chapter 2, chapter 3, and then he comes back. And now we know he's going back, and we know the famous story in John 4 where he meets the woman at the well, and now he kills a man, and now he's going back again. So the first feast was the feast of Passover in John chapter 3, John 2, John chapter. That was the first time Jesus went. And can you imagine? Jesus knows. He knows that he is the Passover. And he sees them at his father's temple doing all this stuff that doesn't have anything to do with him. And that's why he gets mad, because he knows in 3 years he's going to die on the cross and go there and be the fulfillment of the feast that they're celebrating. And they didn't know what they were celebrating, but he knew why he was there. And that's why he got angry. And so now fast forward, it's 49 days later. This is the next feast in John chapter 5, because the next feast that took place was the feast of Pentecost. And so that's where Jesus shows up in John chapter 5. It's the Pentecost. The feast of Pentecost is when the children of Israel, they celebrated when the law came to them. They celebrated when they came out of Egypt, and 7 weeks later, 7 times 7, 49 days, they come, and that's where Moses came and gave them the law. And so this is the backdrop of Jesus showing up in John chapter 5. He comes back to Jerusalem, and he's coming back to the temple, but he doesn't come in the front door. He comes in the back door, and he comes through a gate called the Sheep Gate. And that's the place where everyone that came to church had to buy a lamb or an animal and pay some money and kill it, because otherwise your sacrifice was not accepted at the temple. So Jesus shows up here in John chapter 5, and he comes through the sheep gate, and he sees all the sheep that, and he says, you know what? He sees a picture of himself, because he knows in 3 years he's going to be the lamb slain. He knows that all these sheep that they're sacrificing at this temple, all the people that are selling and buying sheep and going and worshiping, he looks at those sheep and he says, wow, that's why I came. I'm the lamb slain. And so he comes that way. And this sheep gate was on the backside of the temple. And at the sheep gate near there was the water and the pool. And it says that there wasn't just a few people. There were thousands of people. There were thousands of people that were sick, that were lame, that were blind, that were paralyzed. And they hung out at this pool called at Bethesda. And there was 5 porches. And so I guess there was some shade. It's kind of like these tents. We got 5 tents. I guess that's representative of my message here. And they were hanging out there, and they were waiting for the water to move. Now, can you imagine yourself, you in that situation, you're sick, something is wrong with you. Maybe you can't see well, or you're lame, or you're crippled, or some you have some ailment, and you hang out there. Now, I guarantee you, when you first get there, you hear that when the water moves, whoever gets in first gets healed. And so can you imagine yourself being there? You probably had your eye on that water every moment of the day. Like, you got to church, you were like, okay, when that water moves, I'm going to watch this water. I'm going to stay here and watch this water, because I heard if the water moves, whoever gets in first. It sounds like a competition. Come on, did you read your Bible? You were like, no, God is not fair. No, he's not. God is not fair. Everyone wants equality and fair. God, I'm sorry, God is not fair. He's just. And so doesn't that, you read this? Come on. Whoever gets in first, what happens to the other 999,000 people? They're stuck there, still sick. How is that fair, God? They have to wait again for someone else to come. But what it represented was an old system. It represented the old way of doing things. It represented the old way. But can you imagine, put yourself in, you're there and you're stuck on your mat. And after a while, you get used to the condition of your infirmity. You get used to the confinement of your mat. Your mat, which defines you, which brings you comfort, that which you rest upon day in and day out, that becomes your identity. And that becomes what confines you, and that's what you trust in, and that's what you rest on. That keeps you in, and it keeps you out. And so you get really used to this little mat that you have. Maybe it's 4x4 or 5x5. And so this was the story that Jesus came to. And only it happened ever so often that the angel would stir the water, and people would probably, I don't know about you, but if I was, I probably wouldn't have pushed someone. I probably would have pushed someone else out the way. Come on, how many of you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like you're a little greedy. Come on, put yourself in it. I don't think everybody was all nice and lovey. I think there were some attitudes and mattitudes here. And these people, it says there were thousands of them. Sick, blind, lame, maimed, crippled, hanging out at this place, waiting for God to do something for them. Not really waiting for God, waiting for someone else to do something for them. Because most of them needed a man to pick them up. And so here was Jesus. This is the backdrop. And Jesus walks in, and it says that there was a certain man there who had a weakness. Come on, anybody have some weakness? Come on, it said that he had a spirit of infirmity for 38 years. Come on, 38 years. Now, that doesn't mean he was 38 years old. He could have been 53 years old. We don't know the story. He could have got this spirit of infirmity when he was a teenager or whatever. Maybe something happened to him. Maybe he was in an accident. Maybe some traumatic experience happened to him. But for whatever reason, he was stuck in that position by the pool on the mat waiting for someone else to touch him and do something for him for a very long, long, long time. 38 years, that represents a long time. But it also represents new beginning and maturity. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's time to grow up. Come on, church, it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to walk in maturity. It's time for us to not be babies anymore. It's time for us to not blame the devil and blame one another and blame this. No, come on, it's time for us to get a hold of God like we've never gotten a hold of him before. And so this man here, and what was his excuse? And what does Jesus, he says, do you want to? Now that sounds like a dumb question. Why else is he there? Right? He says, do you want to? And what the man doesn't even answer yes or no. He says, I don't have someone to do it for me. You know, aren't you glad that God doesn't listen to our foolishness sometimes? God doesn't even listen to some of our stupid prayers sometimes. Not that our prayers are dumb, but some of our confessions. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't even respond to the man. He just declares his power and his authority over the man. He says to him, he says, to rise, take up your bed and walk. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. But you have to think about this. Put yourself in this man's predicament. This man had to do something. When the word came to him, he had to respond in faith. There had to be something that caused him to get up so he could pick up that which he trusted in, that which he rested upon, that what he relied upon. That's what made him comfortable. Can you imagine 38 years stuck in the same place? Some of us feel like we're stuck. How many of you guys feel like you're stuck? Come on, sometimes you feel like you're stuck in life or stuck in situations, or when is this going to change? And so this man, Jesus came and touched him in a mighty, mighty way. And the power of the voice of God. This is what represented the power of the voice of Jesus. The power, yes, the water is good and the birthing. When you read scripture, you see that Jesus spoke of water and it represents new birth and refreshing and us being born again. But there's something greater than just the natural water of humanity or even the water of the Spirit, there's something greater, is the voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus, the voice of the bridegroom. And that's what you and I have to rest upon. And so this man who was had this infirmity for 38 years, it can represent you and I. There could be areas in our life that we still struggle with, that there's areas in our life that we haven't resolved. And infirmity just means an impotent or a weakness, something that you and I have not been able to overcome. And God wants to speak to and strengthen us in those areas of our life. And so we see that this man was made whole after Jesus spoke to him. Jesus spoke to him and touched him. And then Jesus goes on in the passage afterwards, and he said, and I shared this with you last week, he says, my Father is working, and so am I. We're working. And whoever hears the voice of God will come out of their grave clothes. They will come out of their grave clothes, whoever responds to the voice of God. Now turn with me in your Bibles, and I'll turn with there in my electronic Bible, to Isaiah chapter 55, and I'm going to close with this, and I'll come back. It says, I like this. It says, yo, or ho. We say yo. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Now here we go. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led out with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth and sing before you. You say, Pastor Steve, why did you read that verse? Because God's ways are higher than ours. He has a fountain of living water that satisfies us. He gives us the life of the Spirit. He gives us the supernatural. That was Isaiah 55. He gives us the supernatural rhema of God. Every one of you that are under the sound of my voice, that God's word is inside of you, that it's time for us to stir our gift, to stir up the word of God and declare the word of God. You say, Pastor Steve, why are you reading so many scriptures out here? Because I want the heavens to hear the word of God. I want to declare the word of God out in the atmosphere, because the word of God is powerful. The word of God endures from generation. You and I will pass away. Our lives go really fast, but God's word remains true throughout every generation. His word remains true. Don't you know that people tried to destroy the Bible? They tried to destroy God's word. They tried to burn every book that they could find. But how many know that God is too great to be stopped? And his truth will endure whether you and I like it or not. And so it's time for us to say, Lord, I love you and I love your word. And I love your presence, and I love the things of God. I love the things of the Spirit. I love justice and mercy and truth. I love the things that you love, Lord. And I want to be healed today. I want to come into a new place of strength in my life. I want to know a new power and anointing inside of my life. I don't want to just go through the motions, but every day I want to live with purpose and vision. Come on, just pray. Play for me, Franklin. And so if you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I need a new power in my life. I need a new strength. Come on, Pastor Steve, I could use some new strength in certain areas of my life. Come on, we get tired. We have to deal with life. We have to deal with responsibilities. Come on, you have to deal with, and it could be physical, it could be emotional, spiritual. But come on, every one of us need the strength of God. We need the strength of the Holy Ghost. We need the strength and the power of the risen Christ. And just as Jesus came to that pool and he saw all these people hanging out, and maybe some of them were comfortable in their misery and they were comfortable in their infirmity. Jesus just saw one. I don't know why he just picked one, but that's how he did it. That's another contradiction right there. Some of us are going to say, well, why didn't Jesus heal everybody? I don't know. You got to ask him that. I didn't write the story. But think about it. There was a lot of people that were left there, but only one person got touched. Why him? I don't know. I didn't write it. But it was his mercy. But maybe in the old, that's what it represented. You had to go through a certain formula. But I know that Jesus is willing to touch all of us, all of humanity. So can you just stand to your feet with me and say, Pastor Steve, I'm here today and I'm enjoying the presence of the Lord. But maybe I'm not feeling all that great. Maybe I have some contradictions. Maybe I have some health issues going on. Maybe there's some friends and family around me that are going through. Life is chaotic. What we hear on the news is crazy. What we see around us, Lord, but we thank you that you are an anchor and you remain the same. And so things are changing around us, but you remain the same, and we can hold on to your hand and know stability and strength, and we would know your provision, not just financial provision, we'd know your provision of peace and joy and hope and the fruit of the Spirit, kindness and meekness and long suffering and all the things, so that when we go out, Lord, and we drive down the street or when we go to work or whatever we do, Lord, that we will, Lord, be light bearers, and Lord, we will be salt. We will have a word in our mouth, even as your word says, you awaken me up, Lord. Say, just tell the Lord, say, Lord, wake me up. Wake me up spiritually, Lord. Don't let me be sluggish and sleepy. Even some of you guys that come late for church, I'm not even looking at you. Come on, wake me up, Lord. Wake me up in the spirit. And there's a scripture that says, he awakens my ear morning by morning. He gives me the tongue of the learned. He touches my ear that I could hear, that I could speak a word in season to him that is weary. So if you're here today and you hear my voice and you need strength in your life, Encounter Church, Facebook, Food Max, whoever hears me, strength comes from God. Let's just lift up our eyes today, as scripture says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He who keeps me will not slumber. He who keeps me will not slumber or sleep. He will guard my coming in and my going out. Even as we declare today, Lord, we thank you for your blessing that endures, your blessing from generation to generation to generation to generation. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Pastor Porsche is going to come and sing something.
You know, as you were singing, as you were preaching, I heard the Lord say something to me. I was over there, and I was like, wouldn't it just be nice to have a big old pool of Bethesda right here where all of us could just jump in and get refreshed? And I'm sitting there imagining this pool. And then I realized when you said that for the first time, I realized that he is the water. His words are the water. His word is the water. You know, the Bible is the word that came fresh. John chapter 1, verse 1. He was the word that came, you know, and so therefore he is the water. His voice was like many waters. And so by the washing of the water of the word, amen, right now we can be healed. Amen. His voice can speak to us right now. So, Father, right now, if you just need a touch in your body, we're just going to pray right now for you. And we're just going to sing a little bit and go home. But I just see just you need a touch for Maria. We just pray for Maria right now, God. Maria Reyes, Father God, that the test that she has to go through, Father, we pray, God, in Jesus' name, God, that you would turn around what the doctors are saying. And God, that she would be whole in Jesus' name. We decree and declare it now in Jesus' name. Right now, Janet's mother, right now, that she has her hand raised up, Father, we pray, Father, that you're going to touch her in her body, God, that we're going to have a testimony of your goodness once again. All everybody with their hand raised, lift your hand for somebody you know that you're praying for right now. Father, we just pray, Lord God, God, for the water of your spirit, God, the living water of your spirit to flow through every single person, God, whose hand is raised, Lord God. Flow, God, continue your work in Ava Lavender. Flow, God, right now in Jesus' name for Helena. Flow, holy water of God, holy rivers of God, life, rivers of life, flow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we decree and declare healing for your glory alone.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. If you would like to learn more about us, please visit encounterjesus.us or search for Encounter Church San Leandro in your app store.